this past week in my headlines on my computer, I noticed there was a couple of people that were being recognized because they worded in their separate concerts, "This one's for you, you know who you are, I love you." Today is Mother's Day, and it's a time when we take a little moment to honor the special ladies in our lives. But in church, sometimes this becomes the theme of the day. That, like I said, I don't always do things the normal or traditional way. And it's not because I have anything against Mother's Day. I love my mom and I love being a mom. But sometimes this is a hard day for different reasons. In fact, any given special day in church can be difficult. So today, on this special day, I just want to say to all of those who have shaped and guided every one of us and every one of us coming up, whether they be teachers, mentors, friends, relatives, aunts, or moms, this one's for you. You know who you are, and you are loved. This little poem says, "Thanks for your smile that lights up the room. Thanks for your laugh that helps drive out the gloom. Thanks for your willingness always to help. Thanks for thinking of others before you think of yourself. Thanks a million for the million lovely things you do. But most of all, thank you for just being you." Right, and our scripture today is from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, and I am reading from the New American Standard Bible. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we celebrate in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Many years ago, when our kids were still little, and I say little, I think Brennan was barely bigger than a toddler. Do you remember when it was that we took this trip to Great Wolf Lodge? Seems like he was about 3 or 4 years old. Small enough to fit into his Buzz Lightyear swimming trunks. And in Great Wolf Lodge, how many of you have seen it or been there? Okay, you guys have been there. Have any of you seen those big buckets at a water park? Yeah, besides, I mean, there's that one. Have you seen another one somewhere else? That's the only place I really remember seeing that great big of a one. We've seen them in Arizona, but they were a little bit smaller. Well, in the middle of Great Wolf Lodge Water Park, they had this huge yellow bucket, and again, this is almost 20 years ago, so I'm trying to remember it really well. But there was a little trickle. All the water from the pool would come up in this little trickle, and about every 10 minutes or so, this great big bucket would start to tip, and all of the people would run over and stand under the bucket. And I just remember the very first time that I saw this bucket, because little tiny Brennan went running over, and he got under that bucket, and this thing poured out, I don't know how many gallons of water. It's a lot of water. And I remember being a little terrified, because the first time I saw it dump, I could not see my son in the water. There was so much of it come out. And we're going to be talking about pouring today. And that image came to me while I was writing the sermon this week, of how that water came out of the bucket. So today we're going to be reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, which is what you just heard. And most of it is focused on chapter 5, but there was a little bit at the beginning. I always shorten the readings that we're going to get, so it's not so much to try and listen to all in one bite. But the lesson starts in chapter 3, and really the only little bit of it there is a reminder as to who Paul is talking to in this scripture. And he says, "Is God for all people, who only those who live under the Jewish law?" How many of you live under the Jewish law? Oh, that's right. Do we need God to be the God for all people, or just the ones who live under the Jewish law? We need God to be God for all people. And so in chapter 3, verse 29, he says, is God the God of Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, he is the God of the Gentiles. So then in the lesson, we skip all the way to chapter 5 and pick up at verse 1, and we talk about being justified in faith. I didn't read directly out of my book. The reason I don't read directly out of my Bibles when I preach isn't because I change the words. It's because usually the type is too small for me to see. It's much bigger on here. But this is the new Bible that I got this week. I have been eyeballing this thing since pre-COVID. So it took me a little while to go ahead and bite it off, but it's the keyword Bible, and that means that, every third or fourth word is underlined, and you can go to the back and you can read the original Greek or Hebrew and know all of the different things that these words might mean. And, you know, that's why we have so many translations, is because everybody does their best to pick which one makes the most sense, right, in a definition. You do that when you look up a word in the dictionary. You go, oh, this is the one that looks like it would apply. And so they have this Bible where you can look up all of the different meanings that any given word could have meant in the original Greek or Hebrew. And all these years of my life, I've been able to read the Bible and pretty well understand it, but I enjoy seeing how lovely some of it is that I didn't realize. So the word justified, of course, we can figure out justified is to be made right. But the other word that I picked out there was the word faith. We are justified by faith, right? We are made right by faith. What is faith? How many times do you look at the definition of words like that? Yeah. And so I looked it up in the original meanings there, and the one that really jumped out at me that was so pretty was the meaning was to rely on Jesus Christ. That's what faith is, to rely on Jesus Christ. So once we learn to rely on Jesus Christ, that makes our world right. We are justified by faith because we have let Jesus into our hearts. And the next part of that scripture said, and we have peace with God. Because once you've been made right, when everything is wrong in your life and you come to know Christ and Christ becomes your reason, then you are at peace. You find peace with God, and now we know grace, which also in this book tells us that what grace is, it is the good will of God. A blessing, my favorite, the divine influence of God upon our hearts. Once we accept Christ and have Christ be our reason, and once we are justified, once we find that we are made right by Christ, and we find the peace in that, then we allow God's divine leadership for our lives. That's what the scripture is saying to us. We have grace once we rely on Christ. We have that grace. We recognize it during the good times. We always think, oh, yeah, life's great during the good times. But the scripture didn't even point out the good times. It said, we have all of this during the tribulations. Because it's when life gets hard. It's when things are rough. It's when things don't look right in our lives that we need to turn in that direction and let Christ make it right. To put our faith in Christ that Christ will make it right, even in the dark times. God pours out God's love through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. That image of God pouring into us is, I read this scripture a couple of weeks ago and I just kept thinking, gosh, God pours into us. And I couldn't figure out how to come up with an example that was big enough for how God pours into us. What I visualized first was a waterfall coming down into a stream or coming down into a lake. And I thought, that is so beautiful to think of how perpetual the grace of God is pouring into our lives. Except, you know, there's a couple of things about that. One, that's a lot of water all at once, kind of like the bucket at Great Wolf Lodge. And if you stand under a waterfall, you might become overwhelmed. But also, a waterfall looks endless, but what happens in a drought? It might be a trickle, right? And so, as I was imagining this, what would be a great example of God's love into our lives and God pouring the Holy Spirit into our lives? You know, I just finished preaching class You know that? 9 years in, I have taken my preaching class. And our professor said, if you say to God while you are putting together a message, I need something that speaks to me and speaks to my people, be assured God will show it to you. And she said, you just got to pay attention in your life. You don't even have to go to YouTube or the internet to find something inspirational. God will put it right there, and you just have to be paying attention to see it. And so as I was imagining and thinking about where have I seen this water supply, I remembered Thursday, we went out to dinner with Sammy and Kylie and Wapshubsy and Peter. And we just happened to get lucky that when we went out to dinner, we went to Adrian Journal, that the patio was open. It had been closed for quite a while. And we were the only people sitting out on the patio. And if you have a one-year-old boy and a four-year-old boy, that's luck to be the only ones out there on the patio. And so they got to run around and play and just be boys. And they were drinking out of, we went back and asked Daniel to borrow cups for the sermon today, literally. And they were drinking out of these cups. And they just had water. And while Shubsy's favorite thing to do, which is really frustrating in the house, but he was doing this at the dinner, at that dinner too, is he likes to take whatever he's drinking out of and see if he can get it to come out. And he takes bottles and he takes cups and he walks over to my floor at home with juice and he holds it there and waits for somebody to say stop. And then he goes over here and he does a little over here. So we have a lot of juice on our floor all the time. But that day he'd been going around and watering the fake grass at the Journal. And we were really glad. We told him it would probably grow right there. But as we got done eating, he decided that Lolly was done with her drink. And so he had taken his cup and he just kept doing this thing. And his aim, he also had it going everywhere. In fact, most of his water was going under the table, but part of it was going in my glass. And the longer he did it, the more cloudy my water got, by the way. And he was having so much fun with it, and he was so invested that when he got his cup empty, I said, hand me your cup. And he was kind of, he didn't know about that because he was afraid that I would just take it away from him. But he gave it back to me, and I filled it back up. And then I gave it back to him so he could do it again. And so we did this process. I don't know how many times we did this process until finally he ran out of water. I mean, we both ran out of water because a lot of it was going off to the side and going under the table. And so eventually we didn't have any more water left. And so while I was thinking about the message today, I was like, man, I really need to know this endless supply of water. What is it? And all I could picture was him doing this with this little cup, putting a little bit of water in my cup over and over and over. And eventually it hit me. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You see, a waterfall or a bucket of water is a lot of water all at once that might overwhelm us. But in this little game that we were playing, squeezing that little trickle into water, and his aim was not amazing, which is why I brought the bowl so I wouldn't make just as big a mess. There was just a little water. And it came when my cup got empty. When mine got empty, he was refilling it. When his got empty, I was refilling his. And we just kept filling it over and over and over. God's cup that he fills for us, the way that God fills us with the Spirit, is not so much that we can't contain it. It's just how much we need whenever we run out. Only unlike mine, his doesn't go dry. His continues to come over and over. So what about all the water that went everywhere else and went in the bowl or went off to the side and looks like it got wasted? Well, I thought about that water too. Because sometimes in life, we are pouring ourselves into someone else who doesn't seem to want to hear what we have to say. Maybe we hit them at the wrong time of their life. Sometimes we're pouring into someone who we just want to give up on because they're just never going to change. Ever met that person who's never going to change? And you just keep trying to pour yourself in and you just think, I just don't have it to do anymore. Or we have that person that doesn't want to believe in God and we think we're never going to get through. And we think we're just wasting our water. But I think, possibly, we're just watering a seed that has at least been planted. And in God's time, in the right time, it will grow. Where would we be if people would have given up on us and hadn't continued in those times in our life? There was lots of times in my life growing up when I was getting it wrong. What if my favorite teachers would give up on me? What if my friends would give up on me? When you come to church and you hear someone come in and tell you a story about their life that was going in all the wrong directions until one day it wasn't, isn't that inspirational? Isn't that amazing? What if they would have been given up on because they were probably over here catching what was missing, the cup? We can't give up any more than God gave up. Did God give up on Eve when she ate from the fruit? Or her son when he killed his brother? Did God give up on David when he screwed up over and over and over? Did Jesus give up on the woman at the well or the man who was possessed with demons? Did Jesus give up on the guy who waited until the last moment of his life and was hanging on the cross beside him? He never gave up. Always, we are inspired to continue. And just when we think we can't do it anymore, God will fill our cup. And you know, we never know when this is going to be the right thing for the right person at the right time. There was this cute little story that I read this week about a grandpa and his grandson. And the story is about how grandpa has got mobility issues. And they didn't give names, just that grandpa was known by the sound thump, thump, shuffle. Because he had two canes, and he would put up his both canes and shuffle his feet forward. But he was faithful to his grandson. And he went to every one of his grandson's baseball games. Can't imagine doing those kind of things, can you, grandparents? Even though his grandson had never made a good play in a baseball game, grandpa didn't give up on it. He just kept coming. And one day, the grandson comes in and he says, "Grandpa, you're having a really rough day today. Why don't you stay home and rest?" But grandpa, of course he knew what his grandpa was going to do. The boy shows up to the game, and sure enough, his grandpa's sitting there. And that particular game, they weren't playing very well at the first part of the game, and they were behind, but they came back, and they won. And the grandson made the best play he's ever made that day. And after the game, instead of going to the locker room, he and the other members of the team came by and talked to his grandpa. His grandpa said, "You know what? That was a really great game. What happened?" And the grandson said, "I told the rest of the team that if we all kept trying as much as you do just to come to our games, eventually we would get better." And we did. Who would know that just showing up was the thing that would not only inspire his grandson to keep trying, but see, his grandson was being filled by grandpa, and the rest of the team caught it too. Nothing that we pour out of ourselves that God puts into us to give to the rest of the world is ever wasted. It is always watering someone. We just have to be willing to not give up, to not stop pouring out of our cup. We just have to be willing to show up. You know, we think, "Gosh, I'm not sure I can do it. I'm not sure I'm equipped. I'm not sure I have the authority. I'm not sure. But all we have to do is show up, because who is it that does the work of grace anyway? Are we the ones who give grace? It's God. So if we are willing to do the showing up, God will do the work. We just have to be willing to pour ourselves out. Paul wants us to realize today that we may encounter opportunities to do God's work, and we think we're just too empty and we can't take it on. That God says, "I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon you, and you will be prepared." When it was the right time in the scripture, it tells us that Christ came. And Christ did the work and showed us how to live. And then Christ ascended into heaven, and he promised when he left the disciples, he said, "I will pour out my Spirit upon you, and you will do the work." And then Paul wrote this letter, and he says, "You know, I am out here doing the work, and God pours into me." And so he says, "I need you to do the work and know that whatever you're doing, God will now pour in to you. My warning would be that if you're going to go out and do the work and you're going to be ready, you might wear your waterproof shoes, because sometimes your aim is going to be messy and it's not going to look right. But as long as you go, it will all work out the way it was supposed to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the messages that you show us in even the simplest acts in life. Lord, when a one-year-old just does a simple act of pouring water from cup to cup and we can see your message in it, that's you. Lord, when we look around the room and we see the people who inspire us because they just keep going and we think, I'm not sure I could keep going, and yet here they are. And you inspire us through them. Lord, when we are frustrated, when we just aren't sure, when we think that whoever we're trying to reach isn't listening, or they won't be listening, or they don't even want to know who you are, fill our cup. Keep us always spreading your word, always being patient, always being faithful, always being loving, always being kind, even when we don't think we have it in us. May we remember we have you in us, and that you fill us each and every day. Lord, thank you so much for the gift of your Son. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.